Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, off and running, Mr. Fairbanks, on Thanksgiving Eve 2024. It is Wednesday, November 28th. Might be a little bit warm for a fire in the fireplace.
Wednesday, but, November 27th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I say, I said the 28th.
No big deal.
No,
it's only a day here and there.
Well, I was thinking about Thanksgiving.
Yep,
Got a little bit ahead of myself.
The 28th is Thanksgiving Day.
And of course, this is the latest, I believe, possible Thanksgiving. It could be, a week earlier.
Yeah, that's only 2 days from the end of November, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So it really compresses that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I've always said the fastest 3 months of the year are the final quarter of our year. Speaking of years, we'll begin 15 years with our radio program in January. We come to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Company. We've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, where I'm very proud of the fact that we've got podcasts dating all the way back to the first week of our program in January of 2011. Check that out at buckmastershow.com. And thanks to my able assistant, Rosemary, we managed to get our shows posted usually by about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we're going to utilize the live line today right off the bat. In fact, let's go up to the Valley of the Sun. Will Humble, the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He is the former director of the Arizona Department of Health Services. And I am proud to say that Will is one of our two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He is our contributor on public health. Hey, Will, getting ready to do some cooking tomorrow or leave it to others?
Well, we have divisional labor, so I'm doing the other grunt work outside.
Oh.
But it's an equal amount, I think.
Well, we all certainly want a tasty Thanksgiving dinner, and we also want a healthy experience. So what's the best way to ensure that at least the food is prepared with proper hygiene in mind?
So it's actually pretty simple. The number one by far cause of foodborne illness on Thanksgiving Day is stuff that came in contact with the chicken or the turkey droppings, the fluid. So it's not the turkey itself that gets people sick, because very few people undercook their turkey. Mm. But it's if you put your raw bird on a cutting board, for example, and before you put it in the oven, then that cutting board is contaminated almost certainly with salmonella and shigella, maybe campylobacter too. So the key is really when you open up the turkey wrapping, how it comes in the store in that plastic wrap, put it in the sink. They don't recommend that you rinse it off anymore. It used to be they said rinse it off. It's tempting to rinse it off. It's like intuitive that that's what you should do. But the recommendation is to not do that and to, get it directly after you take the innards out, the neck and all that stuff. Put it directly into your pan that you're going to cook it in. The reason for that is when you start rinsing it in your kitchen, it's more likely to splash on other surfaces like cutting boards and that kind of stuff. The other thing to remember is the stuffing. It's a lot better to cook the stuffing outside of the bird cavity because that stuffing is absorbing all that salmonella and shigella and stuff before the turkey gets all the way up to 165. But then a lot of times if you cook it on the inside, it's that in the stuffing isn't going to get to 165 Fahrenheit. And so it's not going to kill the organisms. So it's better to leave that cavity open because it cooks from the inside and the outside when it's in the oven. So that, really it's how you manage the turkey itself that is the most important thing to remember. And of course, hand washing and thawing too, but it's kind of too late to talk about that on the air because people have done what they're going to do by now. Supposed to thaw it out in the fridge like 3 or 4 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
If it still isn't if it's still frozen, then soak it in water. You know, don't leave it out in room temperature all night. Mm. Better to, you know, keep replacing the water and thaw it out with like tap water.
All right. Some good tips from Will Humble about preparing our Thanksgiving feast. And while we're talking about birds, we have a second case of bird flu in Arizona?
Yeah, it's happened a little bit. There's, it's happening globally. It's not something that's unique to Arizona. But it is worth, I think listeners might be interested in how influenza pandemics start. The influenza virus mutates from time to time. It's called an antigenic shift. If you remember H1N1 back in 2009, that's what happened. But the mutations happen inside of like geese and birds. That's the source of the new influenza viruses. But very, very seldom, in fact, extremely seldom, are humans, when you have an infected bird with a new strain of influenza, humans are almost never susceptible or get an infection or get sick from that. But pigs, and sometimes cattle, but usually pigs, they do get infected sometimes with these new viruses that mutate inside the birds. And then the virus can mutate a little bit more inside the pig. And once that happens, then the new virus can become a pandemic because, you know, pigs are very close to humans in terms of their respiratory receptors inside their lungs. And so that's how pandemics get started. It's geese or chickens to some kind of mammal, usually a pig, and then to human. But H5N1 is just infecting birds for the most part. A few cattle have been infected. I don't know about pigs. I haven't heard about pigs getting infected. I've heard just mostly cattle on this one. But I still think it's at low risk of turning into a pandemic. I mean, it could happen, but at this point, it's not a huge public health risk. The Department of Agriculture and CDC are working with the farms that have the flock infections. And sadly, those farmers usually lose their flock. They're going to lose them anyway because it's lethal to the chickens. Anyway, long answer to your short question.
we're back into the flu season. What are you hearing about the regular flu? And I know that the CDC has put out a statement saying only about 30% of Americans have bothered to take a flu shot, and a lot less than that have gone for a COVID shot.
Yeah, it's Do I have my flu shot on board yet? I got my COVID shot, but I don't think I've gotten my flu shot yet.
Uh-oh.
I'm one of those people, and I'm talking on the radio with you.
Yeah.
But I do have my doctor's appointment in 2 weeks, so I'm going to get it then.
Good, good.
The flu shot.
Yeah.
My kids, I have a special needs kid. He's had both of his shots. I think, honestly, it's okay usually to not get your vaccine in October, November. We like to get them on board with people as soon as we can. But now is a really good time. The next few weeks before Christmas and the holidays is a good time to get the flu vaccine, because we usually in Arizona see the upswing in infections and February, really, for the most part, but also January and March. So getting it on board now is a good time.
A lot of vaccine hesitancy in RFK Jr. now as the HHS secretary-to-be, if he's confirmed. This will shift away from evidence that kind of evidence-based help. That's kind of your opinion that you put out in your Arizona Public Health Association blog, that public health could be in peril, is your opinion.
Right. And I think, didn't Dr. Carmona talk about this?
He did.
Days ago on the show?
Dr. Carmona,
he
was very concerned. Dr. Richard Carmona, former U.S. Surgeon General, was my Monday one-on-one guest in the interview, and I urge folks to give a listen, is at buckmastershow.com, the podcast. But he's very concerned about the whole vaccine hesitancy movement that he believes will accelerate under the leadership of RFK Jr.
Yeah, I agree that it's possible. And the fundamental problem I have with Mr. Kennedy is that there's a track record here, that he tends to form his opinions based on without evidence behind those opinions. So take his anti-vaccine. People call him vaccine skeptic. No, he's flat out anti-vax.
Yes.
But that resistance and opposition to vaccines that's not based on evidence. And so that's my big problem, is that it's one thing for somebody to be a lawyer, sort of a gadfly lawyer, and, you know, uses fact as a famous name to try to influence things. But it's a completely different thing when you give somebody like that the power of the state, and not just the power of the state, but arguably the most important position in terms of health in the federal government nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
That agency would control the Center for Disease Control, National Institutes of Health, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Those agencies make up about 30% of the whole taxpayer budget. So make really important decisions at the FDA and so forth. So to have somebody who doesn't base their opinions on evidence, I think, is what's so troubling. And we probably don't have time to talk about all the ways he could depress vaccination rates, not just by talking them down, but there's ways that he could change the reimbursement rate for vaccines so that doctors quit providing them. So there's other ways other than just, you know, pulling the license for vaccines to lower vaccination rates, if that's what he wants to accomplish. And by all accounts, you know, his professional track record is that he wants fewer people being vaccinated.
Yeah, and we are coming up against the break, but just a quick follow on that for those of us that still do believe in the power of vaccines. And you kind of inferred this, it could potentially make it harder for us to get the vaccine and then for insurance to reimburse us.
Correct. Because especially if you are on Medicaid and Medicare.
Yes.
I mean, that's where his influence really is. Because as Secretary of Health and Human Services, he controls Medicare and Medicaid. All you listeners out there, Mr. Kennedy will be in charge of your health insurance if you have Medicare or Medicaid. And he can change reimbursement rates to make it so that doctors, there's the vaccine fee, you know, for the actual vaccine, but then there's an administration fee which covers all of the back office expenses to deliver that vaccine. And if it becomes unaffordable for doctors to provide vaccines, they'll stop doing it. And that could really depress vaccination rates.
All right, Will, what about your dessert tomorrow? What kind of pie are you looking forward to on the table?
My daughter just brought in a pecan pie
okay.
that her apartment complex gave her. So I think that's what's on tap for me.
Well, that sounds very appropriate. I was just up at Mona's Danish Bakery on the way into the radio station. Mona's home of the Danish Kringle. Steve and the team, one of the busiest days of the year for them right now. The boxes are piled high. I picked up my dinner rolls. The boxes, of course, contain all of the pie orders. And hundreds of you have put in, and that's a good thing, hundreds have put in orders for a wide variety of pies. But here's my message today. They are open until 2. I doubt if they'll get out of there right at 2 today. So it may be 2:30. So you can still get up there to Mona's and pick up your dessert or dinner rolls like I did. Mona's located at the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, and the word is out about Mona's. It is the place to go for wonderful bakery goods. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. And Steve wanted me to convey Thanksgiving wishes to all the Buckmaster Show listeners and very loyal friends of Mona's Danish Bakery. Let's take a break right here. More with Will Humble right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. They have the naming rights to our studio. A lot of people think we're actually broadcasting from... It's true. I've run into some people really recently who thought... Tom, I think they thought we were set up in one of the... the
surrounded by a bunch of potted plants.
By the many greenhouses there. No, but they have the naming rights, and we're glad that they certainly do to the Buckmaster Show. But we are in the Bustos Media Complex here, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. Let's go back now on the live line, and the live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is with us. Will's the former... He's the former head guy at the Arizona Department of Health Services. Are they still dealing, Will, with a temporary director?
Yeah. yep. They're the same. They're going to have some confirmation hearings. The governor and president of the Senate, Peterson, came to an agreement. So there's going to be some hearings in January, February this year. So we'll see what happens with Ms. Cunico.
All right, let's try to carve out some time for a very important topic. Nearly half of Arizona child deaths are preventable, and there were 850 Arizona children dying in the last year. This report is just out. What do you make of it, Will Humble?
There's three main things I hope that we can talk about while we're on the show today. The first is the importance of a safe sleep environment. These reports come out every year. It's actually been in these child fatality reports have been done for more than three decades now. And they've been really helpful in identifying not just the way kids die, but ways that we can prevent that. That's the important part of this report. And unsafe sleep environments are continue to be the number one preventable cause of child death, infants usually. And kids, we now know it's much, much safer to have kids in their own crib without a bunch of pillows and put the baby in the crib on their back. That way they won't suffocate. The real risk is when you add a bunch of pillows into the crib, mm-hmm. it's easy for kids to roll over and their mouth gets stuck against the pillow and they're not strong enough. They don't know and they suffocate. Same thing happens with co-sleeping where you bring and I know it's tempting. I mean, the kid's crying and stuff. And when you bring the baby into bed with you, they quiet down or maybe mom wants to breastfeed in the bed and falls asleep. That's a super unsafe sleep environment. And so it's really important to put the baby to bed in their own crib without pillows. So that's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is with automobile accidents and injuries. Arizona does have some interventions that cause a lot of preventable deaths in Arizona. Arizona does have a graduated driver's license, which is a good thing. So when a kid turns 16, they don't have the full rights of driving, you know, like a 22-year-old would. They're supposed to, you know, there's limitations on what they can do, how many passengers they can have in the car, and so forth. And so we continue to see older teenagers that are not buckled up, that are riding with, somebody who's 18, 19, maybe 17 years old. And so really stressing to the parents the importance of making sure kids are buckled up properly, the teenagers. And then kids under 13 really need to be in the back seat. And up until they're grow out of their car seats, they need to be in their car seat. So automobile injuries is another big thing. Again, mostly preventable deaths. And then the final thing that I did for folks to remember is the importance of proper secured storage of firearms within your house.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's important is because we lost 68 kids in Arizona in 2023 to pistols in the home. And it's a combination of both homicides and suicides. And anyone who's been a teenager and everyone who's listening was one, know how impulsive teenagers can be. And when they have problems at school or family or other things, they can make impulsive decisions. And if a firearm is unsecured in the house, is not locked, and they have access to that firearm, bad things can happen. And so safe firearm storage is super important. And we've talked on earlier shows about the child access prevention law, which I advocate for. I'm not talking about taking people's guns away, but I'm talking about requiring people to store their firearms safely when there's kids around the house. So those are the three big takeaways from the report.
Well, we need to get the message out because it's a staggering 171% increase in those firearm fatalities just over the last decade here in Arizona. We just really need to get the word out about that.
Correct. And I'd like to see a child access prevention law, but now that we know what happened with the election here in Arizona, those bills don't have a chance. But eventually, maybe we'll join the states that have that important evidence-based intervention in place. Again, it's not taking firearms away. It's requiring people to treat that firearm with the respect that it's due and recognizing the threat that it could pose when it's left unsecured.
One other area mentioned in the report that I think is important, deaths due to fentanyl. We're down year over year at 27. One is too many, but 27 is down a bit. But the report added a sober footnote that there was no reduction in fentanyl-linked deaths among the youngest children.
Right. But the youngest children are – that was a small part of the report. The big number is really with the older kids. Experimenting with pills that are laced with fentanyl. I think one of the reasons why it's stabilized and maybe gone down a little bit is that the widespread or much easier access for the reversal drug called Narcan, which works really fast. If somebody is in an opioid crisis and overdose, this product called Narcan, which is available at pharmacies across Arizona without a prescription now, you just squirt it in the nose and the person recovers almost immediately. So Arizona lawmakers have passed over the last few years making it easier for people to get Narcan. And I would recommend that anybody who thinks there's any risk of anybody in their lives ever encountering a fentanyl pill, and they might be around them, to keep that in their purse or where it's easily accessible, because it can save a life almost immediately if you're the bystander.
All right, Will Humble, always a pleasure. Want to wish you and your lovely family well this Thanksgiving. You're one of the blessings for our program. We're just so thankful you're part of it. Thank you, Will, and hope the turkey and the dinner tastes wonderful tomorrow.
My pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving. And by the way, I also thought you were broadcasting from the garden.
There you go. Yeah. Well,
I've been doing this show for years.
Well, and it's wonderful publicity, isn't it, for green things. People can come out there and they think, oh, I'll run into Bill and Tom during the show. Well, yeah. All right. Thank you, Will. Have a great holiday.
All right.
Let's take a break right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And I want to talk a little bit about all the holiday things available at Zocalo Village, which is part of Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They have some incredible items from Mexico. They're these tin Christmas trees, and they're beautifully rendered. You put a light at the inside, at the base, and it lights up, and it's beautiful. Get you in the holiday spirit. So check out Green Things, family owned and operated since 1970. Green Things really is a grower's. They've got 13 acres of grower's paradise right in our own backyard. So greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are just so blessed to have 24 regular contributors to this program. You heard one of them in the first portion of the program, Will Humble, who is our regular contributor on health, who is the public health. He's the former director of the Arizona Department of Health Services. And our contributor on faith and spirituality is with us for his annual Thanksgiving Eve visit to our program. He's Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I am a proud member. He is with us on the live line. Father Robert, how are you?
I am all right. Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah, almost Thanksgiving. And what's on your mind today on this Thanksgiving Eve, Father Robert?
Well, other than, you know, the recipes for tomorrow, it's kind of this service, Thanksgiving Day service, is actually one of my favorites of the year. Because it's sort of, as I told somebody today, I said it's a service when the church is kind of charged with remembering why we have these holidays in the first place. And so it's kind of a lovely thing to gather with it's usually about 100 or so folks who are there for it, and then have a meal afterward. And it's kind of, you do all the most essential stuff the church does, which is sort of worship and sing together and eat together. It's kind of just lovely. So we're kind of in the midst today of getting ready for that tomorrow, which is fun work to do.
Yeah, I'm so glad that the church is doing that. And this is open to all. If any listeners to the Buckmaster Show do not have a place to go for a Thanksgiving feast, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church at River and Campbell will have a service at 11 o'clock, and then everybody will gather and enjoy a wonderful meal. So I'm glad that is happening. So it is a time, Father Robert, when we count our blessings, and I've put together the Buckmaster list of things that I am thankful for, and then we'll hear your list, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Right off the bat on my list, count my blessings, and of course I'm so fortunate to have wonderful sponsors who have made this radio program possible, contributors like you, Father Robert, who have been with us, and adding a lot of we're content creators here every day on the Buckmaster Show, and there's so many blessings, not only on a professional level, but for me, many of listeners know I've been on a very very dark personal journey after the loss of my wife about a year and a half ago. So there is light at the end of the tunnel for me, and I'm happy to report that this Thanksgiving. Then let go of what I can't control. And I believe there's probably only one thing, Father Robert, you can join in here. It's only one thing we can control in life, and I believe that's our actions, correct?
Yeah, that's how we respond to things. I mean, that's the control we have. And then beyond that, we're letting others take control of us.
Practice kindness, something I try to do every day. We are human. It is, of course, we can't do it 100% of the time. But if we have that kind of as part of our plan every day, it can pay off in wonderful benefits. Then listen to your heart. I listen to my heart and go in that direction, and it will not lead you astray. Be thankful for what God has given us. That kind of circles back to my number one blessing of counting my blessings. And here's one for you, Father Robert. Just breathe. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if more people just paused periodically, throughout their day,
I think we would find ourselves sort of in a richer place without having earned or spent anything at all. But I think there's a reason that monasteries pray six times a day, because it takes that much sort of discipline to cultivate that sense of awareness and gratitude, I think.
All right, I want to hear what your list is looking like.
Sure. Well, I realize that this is now my ninth Thanksgiving in Tucson, which it's just a surprise. It seems like I just got here yesterday. So sort of grateful for this place and sort of finding not just St. Philip's but the Tucson community more broadly. And part of the reason that I'm thankful for it is because it's been kind of amazing this last year or two to kind of watch our boys sort of flourish in sort of new learning environments, and that's been kind of the thing I'm really grateful for. And then trying to figure out, how all that intersects, because it's easy to sort of say trite things, but, I am grateful for sort of health and family, neither of which you can take for granted, as you are too painfully know. Yes. And so just being aware of the gift of that. And this last year, sort of being grateful for the gift of improving health, which, you don't always say as you age, but I've actually had a year where that's gotten a little better for me, so that's been good. And then trying to think that last one, was being thankful for rest this year. So that we had a chance to take a couple of small trips and get away and go, San Diego and go surfing and things like that. And just being aware of how precious those moments are, especially as your kids get older, you sort of become more and more aware that, that this may be the last time you do this or the first time you do this, and because your time gets more scarce with them. So being grateful for the time we have with them now.
And you've got to be very grateful for the amazing journey and that you have taken in your life, and you've shared with us on past occasions, and we always have new listeners. And I think it would be worth repeating that choosing. A religious lifestyle was not what was originally planned for you, Father Robert Hendrickson.
No, it was annoying when it happened. I spent a lot of time as a fairly militant atheist because when I was younger, my mother and my sister died in relatively short order. And so I spent a lot of time thinking that I didn't believe in God. And what I realized was that I was angry at God, which are two very different things. And so, it takes time to kind of, metabolize that and let it feed something else. And kind of what I realized over time is that I think those experiences of loss and kind of a certain kind of brokenness sort of kind of drew out of me over time a kind of desire to serve other people and to be present for them in the way that I wish other people had been able to be present for me, particularly in the church. And so when it happened, I was fairly shocked, and it sort of hit in an interesting way. Some folks know I worked as a communications director for Brooks Brothers in New York, and I was there when 9/11 happened. And after that, a lot of kind of soul searching happened. And it happened when I was in seminary later on, which was in New York. I happened to be administering ashes at a church that's just basically right across the street from where the Brooks Brothers store was there at the World Trade Center. And I was administering ashes on Ash Wednesday, and they open the doors, and all day long people are coming to receive ashes. And as I was looking out the doors, I was at the front of the church looking out, and the doors were open. And, as I was saying to these people over and over again, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return, I just kept seeing those images of the dust clouds from the World Trade Center pouring down the streets. Hmm. And in that moment, this sort of moment just sort of struck me that I didn't want to know about God in an academic way. I wanted to come to know God in a deeper way. And it was through people. It was going to be through those very real encounters of reminding people of their mortality and reminding them of the gift of life. That you have that experience over and over again. And so for me, that was one of the kind of profound kind of hinge moments in my life where lots of things came together in one moment. And so I'm deeply grateful for that, all that life experience that shapes you, that in the moment you think this is awful, but then later on you realize that it's shaping you for some reason, if you can let that reason sort of speak to you.
Was there something earlier that turned you to the seminary, though, and why you suddenly, maybe it wasn't suddenly, I'm using suddenly twice, but what turned you toward becoming a believer?
Yeah, it was gradual. I mean, actually, we I had the gift of a wife who was very faithful, and who's a scientist, and so the, you know, knowing someone who valued that intersection of the intellectual life and faith was a real gift. And then sort of over time we tried different churches, and then we landed at an Episcopal church in New Haven. I was just going as with my wife, as they say, to preserve domestic tranquility. That's the only reason I was going to church. So we went, and then suddenly this place that was incredibly welcoming and warm and friendly and genuine and intellectually engaged, all the things that we're told by the media that the church isn't, we found that. And so we were sort of welcomed into this place. And gradually over time, I found my heart as a Wesleyan or a Methodist might say, my heart was sort of strangely warm. You know, I mm-hmm. found this kind of warmth and this receptiveness to the church and faith kind of reawakening. And when I was a little kid, I think it was 7 or 8, I got in trouble for stealing holy water from the church because I was going to baptize my stuffed animals. You know, and so at some point there was a vocation, you know, some kind of vocation that got interrupted by that experience of grief and loss. And so in some ways, that finding that church in New Haven with my wife was a kind of reconnecting of the wires, if you will, of that vocation that had gotten severed. And, so then graduate. But when I went to seminary, I went with the notion I was going to study religion academically. You know, I would go because I'd always imagined I would go into sort of an academic vocation. And so I thought, well, I'll study religion from a kind of sociological, anthropological point of view. And then that experience at the church near the World Trade Center was the one that switched that, that sort of said, no, this is a vocation to be a priest, not a student of religion, but a middle manager for it, if you will, is sort of what I serve as now, I guess.
And you had studied other religion, you had studied other practices, Hinduism, Buddhism, and do you find some of that incorporated actually into the Episcopal teachings?
Well, I think what the Episcopal Church sort of has is a sense of kind of reverence and tradition and pattern that I think is part of almost every tradition. That kind of the disciplined rigor that is the engagement with those who have come before you, which, you know, that there's a, as I tell people sometimes, you know, that what I love about the church is that it's not a tyranny of the living, right? Nice. We are responsible to those who have come before us and to those who come after us. And I think in that there are certainly echoes. And when you look across traditions, there's that respect for your neighbor, that call to a certain kind of gentleness and humility, the call to love and serve in rich and deep ways that I think are at the core of every religious practice practically. And that gets lived out in each faith tradition in different ways. I think for us, the unique piece is that we always have to be that we're always challenged with, and the opportunity we always have is that question that Jesus asks in the gospel: "Who do you say that I am?" And the opportunity for Christians is that we don't just have a sort of vague notion of sort of cosmic stuff, but we have to relate and be related to a specific figure in Jesus that compels us in particular ways that is the kind of, I think, that at the heart of the Christian endeavor is to try and figure out how do we with good, honest, faithful intention, call God Father as Jesus welcomes us to do. How do we recognize Jesus as brother and Lord of life, and all those things. And that, that's where the particularity of our tradition comes in, I think.
All right, we're going to continue with Father Robert when we continue with Father Robert Hendrickson. Thanksgiving tomorrow, how to keep peace in the family at the Thanksgiving table after the very turbulent political season we've had. We'll continue with Father Robert Hendrickson on the Buckmaster Thanksgiving Eve edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Nice day over in Silver City, about 60 degrees, midday in Grant County, New Mexico. And many of our listeners hear me talking about Silver City every day. And the reason I do it, I like the people over there, I like the area, and I like to send a lot of our listeners there, which I do. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, and sample the land of enchantment in the autumn, late autumn. The leaves are... cottonwoods have fallen, but there's some beautiful color, I believe, still hanging around over in Silver City. So if you've got some time off, might be a great weekend getaway this Thanksgiving weekend. Their website to start your planning, and they being our friends in Silver City, the website is southwestnewmexico.org for some great ideas. And I fail to mention it's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue now with our Thanksgiving Eve conversation, our annual conversation with Father Robert Hendrickson, who is our contributor on faith and spirituality on the program, and he's the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. And Father Robert, everybody will be probably bringing different political views to the Thanksgiving table tomorrow. I want to share with our listeners something you wrote, I believe right after the election. You wrote, "Whether we are plunged into the depths of despair, elated with the heady feel of winning, or just numb from it all, it's time for us to be still. It's time for us to breathe and then breathe again." That goes back to one of my six things to be thankful for. Just take a deep breath and then another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can, you know, turn up the radio so you don't hear each other, or eat in separate rooms, I guess. There are other options. But the thing I find myself sort of, you know, back to the point about gratitude,
you know, I think really cultivating an appreciation for political difference is kind of a crucial thing, I think, in our lives, and sort of recognizing that everyone brings something to the table that we need. You know, and neither my liberal nor conservative friends want to hear that. But it's in our kind of comprehensiveness together that we find real strength, and I think that awareness of the gifts that everyone brings has not just been lost but rejected as a concept. And so to me, it feels like that's a discipline, and it is that we have to reengage with. I'm maybe the only person in the country who covered up my Pat Buchanan sticker with a Howard Dean sticker. So, I've been all over the map politically. And, I have an appreciation for what different folks bring to the table. And I think that's the choice we have to make is, you know, when I do marriage counseling, I tell people you can be right or you can be in a relationship. You don't get both. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to decide, do we just want to be right or do we want to be in a relationship with one another? And I think, you know, especially as these times that are the most important times for families together, you've got to ask yourself that question, do I want to be right or do I want to be in a relationship here? And I think the relationship has to always win out, unless we just want to sort of live miserable, isolated lives. The relationship is crucial.
Well, I think the most important thing at this point, and I hope you'll agree with me, is, well, maybe you won't agree with me, but moving forward and finding some common ground. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think moving forward and trying to figure out, what does forward look like?
Yes.
I mean, and because, to me, that's the we can sort of, everyone's trying to sort of recreate some mythical past. And I think that nostalgia is kind of deadly in a way. And I think that a future focus is crucial. But a future focus, it's not just on sort of what outcome do we want or what policy goal do we want, but sort of what kind of community do we want to live in? Communication do we want to sort of engage in? What kind of respect and tolerance do we want to communicate to our kids? The way we do things is going to say more about who we are than any particular outcome. And the way we're going about our work of being community right now is just deadly in so many ways.
Quickly elaborate that on the final few seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got to commit to a different way of being in relationship and in community together, and sort of commit to not allowing ourselves to be siloed off from one another, to not allowing caricatures and projections about other people be the way we think about them. Because, whenever we get angry because of something we read, someone else is profiting from that. You know, there's a profit motive driving this anger in our country that I think we have to be aware of. Otherwise, we're losing control of ourselves and we're sort of shortchanging our humanity for what? For someone else's profit, for the good of some politician or another. And that's not worth forfeiting our humanity for, our compassion for.
All right, Father Robert Hendrickson, always a pleasure. And again, I do want to emphasize that St. Philip's in the Hills, a very welcoming community, will be certainly welcoming any of those folks out there who do not have a place to go on Thanksgiving for a wonderful meal. Service is at 11 o'clock, and the meal and the sharing will begin immediately after at St. Philip's in the Hills. Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving. You're a real blessing to our community, Father Robert.
Well, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to all of your listeners and to you, Bill.
Thank you very much. All right, on behalf of Father Robert and Tom on the other side of the glass, it's Bill Buckmaster saying, I wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving. We've got a couple of programs we think are worth listening a second time on Thanksgiving, and then Friday, we're taking Black Friday off. We'll be back live on Monday. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend.